We'll begin our reading in verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to preach a message this morning simply titled, I Press Toward the Mark. Philippians chapter 3 is one of the most remarkable passages of Scripture in all of the Bible. Paul begins the chapter with an exhortation for the saints of God to rejoice, to worship God in the Spirit, and to have no confidence in the flesh. And certainly, these are all wise directives for living the Christian life. He also warns against false teachers, and we need to be on guard against error. There was the error of work salvation that was beginning to creep into the early churches. They were trying to add to Christ's finished work, and you can't do that. Salvation is bound up entirely in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Christ alone, plus nothing, minus nothing. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Then Paul gives us a biographical sketch of his life. He tells us about what he was in the past, and then he goes on to what his goals are in the present. And in spite of all of his past religious accomplishments as a Jewish Pharisee, Paul says, I count all that but dung. It's nothing but refuse. That I may know Christ. That I may win Christ. He forsook all earthly acclamations, all earthly possessions, literally. He gave it all up to be the greatest missionary the world has ever known. He was an accomplished Jewish Pharisee. But he said it's much greater. The most noble thing that you can pursue is a life lived in and through and for Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul's mind was occupied with drawing closer to Jesus Christ in communion and fellowship. Read how urgent this sounds. He says in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He was sold out. He was completely dedicated. He says, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." This is a description of a man whose his sole mission in life is to know Christ and to please Him. He was occupied, preoccupied, with drawing closer to Jesus in communion and fellowship. He longed to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And by the time he gets to verses 12 through 14, Paul then gives us some directives. He goes from his personal autobiography, his spiritual journey, and now he says, "I want to give you some practical observations on how you can move forward, how you can press toward the mark, how you can be more spiritual and more godly and more faithful." And certainly, if you're saved, everybody ought to want that. As we begin this new year, well, potentially, the rapture might happen today. We might not see. Oh, by the way, you know the ongoing thing, we're all going to be able to see perfectly next year. Yeah. I'm sick of that joke, aren't you? We'll see 2020? Yeah. It's pretty bad. But we ought to desire to live a fuller, more consecrated life for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to want to go forward, to press toward the mark. The beauty of a new year is it gives us a fresh start. And we ought to want to grow in grace. And as we embark on this new year, we ought to have some goals for our spiritual lives. You ought to be pressing towards something. You ought to have something in front of you. And He gives us some ways that we can spiritually progress, move forward, and press toward the mark. Number one, a dissatisfaction with the present. He says something really honest, really brutally honest. He makes the confession, and Paul did not have an ounce of self-righteousness in him. He was not trying to impress others. He was trying to please the Lord. And he makes an honest statement here that most people are not willing to make. He says, "Not as though I had already attained." I'm not there yet. I'm not where I should be, where I want to be. Either we're already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Think about who's making this statement. In spite of the fact that Paul the Apostle was one of the most spiritual, holy, zealous people in all of human history, he felt as though he still needed improvement. He felt as though there was still room for growth in his Christian life. Though he was living close to the Lord, enjoying His communion, preaching the Word, writing epistles to the churches, he still felt that he could do more. That he could live closer. That he could enjoy a greater measure of communion with God. There was a passion there that was burning inside of him. I don't want to be satisfied with what I am. I want to be more like Christ. I want my life to glorify Him, to honor Him. Now this verse, doctrinally, puts the whammy on anybody who presumes to believe the falsehood of sinless perfection. He says, and remember, this is a guy that was a holy, godly, faithful, consecrated man. And he says, I'm not perfect yet. Now, positionally in Christ, we are perfect. But practically, we still have an old nature that we have to contend with every day. That old sinful nature. So here was a man who lived one of the holiest lives in all of history, saying that he had not yet reached the pinnacle of spiritual success and communion with God. You see, there are people that believe, they call it the second blessing. I'm way beyond the second blessing. I have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm way beyond the second. But the idea is that they get to a place where they are so holy that their sin nature is completely eradicated, it's completely abolished, and they never sin again. I've told you the story of the guy when I was out door knocking one time, and I told him I was a sinner saved by grace and began to preach the gospel, and he got really mad. And he said, "You can't be a sinner and saved." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah. I'm saved and I haven't sinned for 20 years. I said, "You're lying." He got pretty mad at me as the conversation went on. But let me guarantee you something. If you think you're sinless, you are deceiving yourself and you're sadly mistaken. And the Bible goes so far as to say that you're calling God a liar in 1 John chapter 1 if you say you have no sin. So there's no such thing as sinless perfection in this life. But if we're going to progress in our spiritual lives in 2020, we have to realize that there is room for improvement in our personal devotional lives, in our homes, in our worship, in our Bible study, in our prayer lives, in our witnessing to others. And I am saying all those things believing that you understand you and I are supposed to be living the Christian life. Not just on Sunday, not just an hour of the week, but we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that is something we ought to do on a daily basis. And if we're honest, we have to painfully admit that we are not all that we should be or could be for the Lord. And rather offering up flimsy excuses that won't stand the test of time and the judgment seat of Christ. Why don't we live every day with the realization that the Lord, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what we're doing. And let's start off this new year determining to be more open to God. to listen to what His Word says as we read it, and then apply it, and to pray as though we're actually talking to God Almighty, and to witness to others with a real desire to see people saved by the grace of God. Let's not go through the motions in 2020. Let's resolve to do more and be more for the glory of God. In fact, I love this, what the desire of the psalmist in Psalm 19, he said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." He would later write in Psalm 139, he was so desirous of God and His presence and His power, he came in open honesty, in complete transparency, and he says, "Search me, O God, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." What if we were living the reality of that prayer out every day? Where would we be? Our faith would be stronger. Our dedication would be more full and powerful. We need the power of God on our lives. So the first thing he says, if you're going to make progress, if you're going to move forward, if you're going to press toward the mark of the high calling of God, you can't be satisfied with where you're at today. You should be wanting to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, number two, he says in verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." I'm not there yet. "But this one thing I do." Boy, he was focused, wasn't he? He had a singular desire that governed his thinking and his behavior. "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before." The second requirement for progress here is to forget the past. He said, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." I don't believe that Paul meant that he forgot everything in his past. He had already gone through his testimony. God used his testimony in a mighty way. It's good for us to remember how the Lord saved us, where He delivered us from, the miraculous way in which God has transformed your life, answers to prayer, the power of God. All that should be remembered on a daily basis. It's good to remember past blessings and friendships. It's good to cherish the memories you have of loved ones that have gone on before you. To enjoy the good times and the mountaintop experiences. It's good to remember the trials that God has brought you through, and you can look back and you can see how God was working. So this isn't a blanket statement to forget everything. I believe what Paul is getting at is you can't live in the past. It's all right to reminisce, but we've got to go on with our lives. We've got to press toward the mark. We can't be stuck in the past. We have to press on. We have to strive for excellence in the future. We can't live on past blessings and spiritual accomplishments. We need to look to the future and press on to new spiritual horizons, new opportunities for growth. And it's all found in the Word of God. All of us have done things that were wrong and sinful in this past year. There have been times that we failed the Lord. I know how that feels. You start feeling guilty. It affects your prayer life. It affects your devotional life. When you have unconfessed sin in your life, you feel like the Lord will not hear you. And the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66, 18. Don't let your past failures prevent you from going on in 2020. Confess your sins. Resolve to learn from them and go on with your life, forgetting those things which are behind. I press toward the mark. You know, there are people who live their lives in complete bitterness and anger and jealousy and envy because they think about the wrongs people have done to them in the past. And they can't let them loose. They can't. They have no desire to forgive. People get hurt and bitter over what others have done or said in the past. And you know what? If you let that control your life, that bitterness will defile everything you do, every attitude you have. It'll defile your words. It'll affect your health. You can't hang on to grievance and to grudges and to supposed wrongs. I think I taught on this a couple weeks ago in Proverbs. Or maybe it was John, I don't know. But anyway, Spurgeon said, if everything they're saying about me is bad, if it sounds really bad, he said, be sure, if you knew the depths of my heart like God does, it's far worse. The reality is this. None of us should have a self-righteous bone in our bodies. People may do you wrong. Forgive. You know what happens when you can't forgive? It doesn't hurt the person you're offended at that's offended you. It hurts you. You're the one that allows that bitterness to fester and to grow. It affects you. It doesn't affect them. Forgetting those things which are behind. You can't change the past. Some of you haven't been as faithful as you should be in 2019 to church, to your family, to the Lord. You haven't read your Bible like you ought to. You haven't prayed. You haven't been faithful to the Lord's house. You allow things to get in your way, forgetting those things which are behind. Press toward the mark. And that's the third directive. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize. He says in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Really, what this is all dealing with is sanctification.
consecration, dedication. This one thing I do, I've narrowed it down to one thing. I'm pressing toward the mark to be more like Jesus Christ, to be pleasing in His sight, to walk even as He walked, to have the right attitude, to have the right spirit, to be loving and compassionate and kind, to be a blessing to people in my family, in my home, in our church, and in the community. Jesus Christ influenced people everywhere He went. We ought to press toward that mark. Rather than living mired in past failures, press forward in a concentrated, focused pursuit of spiritual excellence as you move forward. Reach forward and embrace. And you know, this takes concentration. You know, one of the reasons why we fail a lot, we get too many distractions. We've allowed too many things to completely distract us from this one thing I do. I press toward the mark. Our whole life is to be... Listen, don't divide your life up into little divisions that this is sacred and this is secular. No, all of life is to be an act of worship. Everything we do, we ought to do for the glory of God. We ought to be governed by that principle that whatsoever I eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God every day. He's narrowing His focus. This one thing I do. You know why we can't do that? We lose focus, we lose concentration. We don't have our eyes on the prize. We don't have our eyes on Christ. We get it on the world, possessions, houses, cars, money, prestige, power, people, government. We let things invade our hearts when our hearts ought to be focused on glorifying the Lord. We allow the insignificant things of life to prevent us from pressing forward and accomplishing things for the Lord. Folks, this requirement, keeping your eyes on the prize, pressing toward the mark, The Greek here is like he's given the example of somebody who runs a sprint. And how have you ever seen somebody run like the 200 or the 100 meter dash, the 200 meter? You ever seen how focused they are? How every muscle in their body is engaged and twitching, and they've got their mind on one thing, and their entire body, mind, their body and mind is fully focused on getting to the finish line. I'm amazed by the determination, the dedication that it takes someone to compete at that kind of level. That 100 meter dash or that 200 meter, do you realize I can't go out there as a fat little Baptist preacher and
and say, I'm going to run the 100 right there with Michael Johnson and Usain Bolt. Yes, sir.
And I would make it, I probably would make it 10 yards before I start going, whew, I need a break. Their whole being, and they've trained week after week, month after month, to compete. We're in a race, folks. And every day we ought to be engaged, body, soul, and spirit. Not allowing things to get in our way of running the race with patience. It takes discipline, steadfastness, and resolve. Where are the men today who will say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? That's some resolve. That's a man who put himself on the spot and told the nation of Israel, as for me and my house, we're going to follow God. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to engage in this fight for His glory and honor. You see, one day we're going to come to an end of all earthly toil. I think it would be revolutionary if we would live every day thinking it could be our last. Live every day as though Jesus may come today. How our lives would be transformed if we could just keep our eyes on the prize of being like Christ and being with Him throughout all eternity. That's all that matters. When you boil it all down, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, is the Lord going to ask you how big your house was? How many cars you had? What your investment portfolio was? Whether your kids were doctors, lawyers, presidents, whatever? Now, we got to live in this world, but we don't have to pursue what the world pursues. We need to press toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm going to ask you to look at yourself. Examine yourself. I've often said, what if everybody was as faithful as you? What kind of church would we have? What if everybody gave like you give, paid your tithes like you do? What if everybody witnessed like you do? What if everybody read their Bible like you? What kind of church would we have? You know what? We're all in this together. This is the body. I'm going to ask you to resolve. People say, I ain't going to make no resolutions because I'm just going to break them. I'm so sick of hearing that. You read Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. 176 verses, and start counting up all the resolutions that the psalmist made, you would be shocked. You see, to
to resolve means I'm going to be determined. Yes, I am going to be determined to read my Bible through this year. I'm going to be determined to be faithful to God.
I'm going to make time every day to study and to pray and to meditate. Be faithful in your spiritual life. Don't let things slip. Because what happens when you start letting things go? It becomes so much easier to just go with the flow. Resolve to have an impact on the lives of other people. Be a living witness for Jesus Christ. You know, they say that most people come to church not because somebody knocked on their door or because of a flyer they got, but because a friend invited them. I'd love to see 2020 where we have standing room only. Oh, preacher, you shouldn't worry about nickels and noses. I don't. I want as many people as possible to know the truth. I would love to see people from all over Lawrence County come to Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church to hear the truth of the Word of God. Listen, the preacher is not your hired gun. I haven't been called to do all the work in this church. You see something that needs to be done, do it. There's lots of things where you can serve in little areas. But resolve to make a difference in the lives of people. And invest in your family. Be good to your wife. Wives, be a blessing to your husband. Pray fervently for your children and your grandchildren. Remember, every day that little eyes are watching you. And may God help us in 2020 to press toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If you're not saved here this morning, I direct you to only one person, and it's Jesus. You're not saved by shaking a preacher's hand, confessing your sins to the preacher. You're not saved by being... Go to God. Go to Christ. Like the songwriter said, "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. O Lamb of God, I come." Trust Him. He's the only Savior of sinners. Let's all stand.